Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show, and I'm Dr. Joanne White, and we have a very special guest for you today. For those people who are in the Cherry Hill, the southern New Jersey area, we have a very special fundraising event for the nonprofit organization Autism Speaks. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard a couple of the guests on the show, specifically Christina Carty, who's the head of the Greater Delaware chapter of Autism Speaks, and we have a great lineup of comedians and a jazz trio and really some wonderful gifts and gift certificate donations that have been donated by some really wonderful people. So come on out to the coastline in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Eat, have a complimentary dinner and fun, and actually help us with our fundraising efforts for Autism Speaks. Today, I have a very special person who's a very close friend of mine and a colleague, Donna Pinter of Pinter Studios. She's a visionary artist whose work has been exhibited worldwide. She's a graduate of the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, the York Academy of Art, and with independent studies in art in Japan. Donna's received numerous awards, grants, scholarships, and commissions, and she's been published in many books and magazines, including 5 volumes of the Guild Source Book of Architectural Art. Donna is also a gifted intuitive, a spiritual teacher, and a transformational healer who works directly with ascended masters that she refers to as the Blu-ray healers. You are in for a treat. And Donna, you're on the line.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Great. Now, you have an incredible story that I just love, a story about sort of like every little girl has a story. Every little girl has a desire about what they want to be when they grow up. And your story is really something that has kind of moved you in the direction of your dual career here. So can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Well, when I was a little girl, my parents were older, and when they had me, Mom was almost 46, so that was special. And my uncle asked me, because I always wanted to work on somebody. I wanted to rub their back or their feet. I used to say I had cameras in my finger. So he asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up. And I said, I wanted to be a healer or an artist. And he didn't quite know what a healer was. And he said, so do you want to be a doctor or a nurse? And I said, what's the difference? He said, well, a doctor has to go to school for a very long time and have to be really good at math and science. I think I was really little because I didn't know what science was, but I already knew enough about math, and I thought, no, I don't think I'm very good at that. And the long time in school sounded daunting, and I said, well, what about a nurse? And he said, well, a nurse still has to go to school for a long, long time, and I think the part that scared me was that they had to give medicines and help people. That was good, but I didn't like the shot part. That was scary to a kid. So I said, okay, I'll be an artist. So here I am, years later, and I'm both.
Yes, you are. And your art, and both your art and your healing have taken you in some incredible directions. So I wanted to ask you, because you've had, you know, mentoring is so very, very important. And not only do you mentor people, because I know that you've mentored people in art, I know that you've also mentored people in energy work and spiritual healing, but you have some incredible mentors yourself that have really guided your career in some wondrous directions. So can you talk about your Japanese mentor, because that also has sort of shifted some of the work that you've done in a particular direction, which we'll talk about after.
Well, as you know, Joanne, I grew up in South Jersey, and there's not a lot of Japanese people and when we were growing up, but I've always had this affinity for Japan. When I got to college, I met my teacher, the woman who became my mentor. She picked a group of artists that were really clearly much more fine art and then commercial art, and mentored us, and we would meet at her place once a month and bring our paintings and critique them. She had lived in she was Japanese. She had married an American man, had been raised to be a ballerina, and hurt her leg, and that was the end of that career, and she started painting. She was, of course, raised Buddhist, and there was just so much about her, her philosophies, her life, the food she ate, the way she did ceremony around food, the way she was with us. It was very different than my background, and it was the missing link for me. I don't think I completely understood all of it when I was, you know, 18, 19, 20, but it changed everything. I had no idea how much it would change until years later.
You know, I actually have some of your incredible artwork. Yes, I love it, in my office, and so many people have complimented about, wow, look at that incredible painting.
Or thank
that
you.
Incredible vase. Well, it's credit to you and your vision, and also it, you know, these people just love it because it really creates balance in my office. But I also know, and sort of personally and also professionally, that you've worked a long, long time with koi in your art, in your paintings, in some of the ceramic work that you've done, in all sorts of work. So can you tell the audience, our listening audience, what is koi, because some of them may not know, and why has that been such an important part of your work for such a long, long time?
Well, I think the part that I started with was movement. Even when I was at the academy, I was doing figurative work and I was doing movement. I was interested in movement, which led me to dancers, but it was never the color. So it was always, for me, movement and color. Even when it was abstract, it was always movement and color. So first, I think I want to tell you that koi, spelled K-O-I, is a name for a Japanese type of fish that originally was a bottom-feeding brown carp, just a common carp, that somehow morphed over centuries into these incredible colored creatures with multiple patterns, and they seem to keep on morphing. They're this around 2000, they started to show up with more blues and more purples, and over the last 5-6 years, more metallic colors are coming in.
So you were guided to actually incorporate them in because of the movement aspect or because of the changing aspect? Why?
All of it. The movement, and the movement as an artist filled that part of my soul that needed to have movement all the time. The color gave me the I see color as passion. I see color as healing. I see color as, especially when it's a clear palette, it's a natural thing, and I really feel that the vibration and of the color has an energy that changes people when they're exposed to it in balance.
Well, you
so
know,
that's
so
part
very
of it.
Okay, that's so the color piece is so very, very important, because as you know, you both of us are energy workers, and color is so very important in healing, and yes, you're so right. Color has that incredible vibration to it. And you've been shifting around with different kinds of colors since I've known you, because now you're actually working with more of those metallic colors. You want to talk about that shift a little bit?
Yes, I do. Well, There's a part of my work that's transitional. The part of the koi moving and the story that I was told about the koi in Japan was from a Buddhist monk. And so I said, all right, I'd love to tell you that story. And then that'll make the other part of the new work seem a little easier for the viewing audience to understand. Would that be okay?
Oh, please do. I would love it.
Okay. Well, when I was in Japan, everything that Maya, I had a chance to go to Japan and stay there for an extended period of time. And as I was there, everything that Maya had represented clicked, made sense. I thought I was going to study the art, but I ended up spending all my time in the temples. I even stayed in a Mishima shrine run by Buddhist monks. I just went off by myself, couldn't speak the language, but seemed to be able to understand everything that was said. I was home. There was this, have you ever been someplace that you just, that was so foreign to you and you're just, your soul knows that you're alive?
Yes, a couple of places in the world, yes, very much.
Yeah, that's what happened. So it changed, the first part was that it changed the way I saw. It moved me into really listening every moment, every second to my intuition as to, you know, what street to turn down, where to go, where not to go. And every day was completely guided. And I had lived up until that point, little excerpts of that, you know, moments of that, but not completely. And I then knew that's what Maya was trying to communicate to me. So the next part was when I was staying at the Mishima Shrine, and I would leave my stuff there and go to Tokyo and then come back and, you know, make other trips. This was in Osaka. And he talked about this ancient story about how a monk had discovered these, this is legend, and everyone has a different version of this legend, as you know how legends go, of these fish, right, how are these fish that were coming down the mountain. They have a tradition of making fabric way up in the hills in the spring and then putting the fabric in the streams, and the water and the rocks and the minerals set the dye. Well, the monks saw these streams and saw this color coming down and thought, oh, that's just some of the fabric. I'll go clean it out. Well, it wasn't. It was fish. And they were big. Now, they had goldfish, and they had from China, and they had ponds. And they were already using ponds in the temples as meditative resting places in Japan. But when he brought these koi in and put them in the water, you know, the people would come, and they would come for prayer. They would come to pray for somebody that was ill or that the crops would be good or, you know, life, the worries of their day. And they would always get up and leave and say that they had gotten an answer, that just by sitting and watching the movement of these colorful creatures through the water transformed them. They moved into, I don't know, Joanne, you would know, an alpha state.
Right.
That's, and they were at one, and they got the answers. So that's why I paint the koi. I feel that right now we're at a place in our society that we're transforming. And if we're given the right food and we nurture ourselves, we surround ourselves with the people that support us, we get rid of toxic relationships, that we too can bloom and that we too can become shiny and bright and all that we're meant to be.
You know, that's already happening, Donna. I think that's, firstly, I love that story, and I think it's so true, because what I'm seeing happening in this world, and in spite of all the fear that's been generated about the end of the world and disaster coming, I really see so much more in terms of hope and in terms of an emergence of this incredible future. And I really urge the listeners here today to really focus on that, because it's always about where you're putting your intention. Now, you have used that meditative state and that sense of movement and that colors to do some incredibly wonderful commissioned work in in very public spaces. I had the pleasure and the opportunity when I was visiting you in Atlanta to go to this incredible wall that you and other artists were putting together. That, and I remember we drove up to the wall, and I saw it moving, and I also heard music. And I said, Donna, it should be put, you know, there should be something put to music with it. So tell us about what that, a little bit about the wall and what working in these public spaces does for people and also for you.
You know, I don't remember that you said that, but I'm so glad to hear that, because I don't know if you knew that eventually I did name the piece A Symphony of Color.
No, I don't.
Yeah, and that's pretty good. There was a man who was living next door who actually was a musician at the Atlanta Symphony, and he's the one that gave me the name. And I would love someday for someone to write the Symphony of Color. I think I already created the art for it, though.
You know, that would be great. Maybe he'll be doing that.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, that would be great.
That would be awesome. Well, the public work, I've had a burning desire. I mean, going back, I am a painter first. I've always considered myself a painter first. However, I'm always looking, I'm always changing, I'm always growing, I'm always delving into new things, just like you are. We can't, but neither one of us can sit still very long. And isn't that wonderful? My friend Joanne, the radio host, the writer, the poet, the healer, the teacher, the mentor.
And the dancer.
Oh, my gosh. And the dancer. That's the best. Absolutely the best. When I do these big, large pieces, the one that you saw in Atlanta was all recycled. So that's a whole nother experience. So often as an artist, you're on this personal, internal journey. You're making these trips. You're coming back. It took 10 years to assimilate what I learned in Atlanta in Japan to be able to bring. Even though I came back, and the minute I came back, I knew I had my life's work. It took me 10 years to do it. It took me 10 years to paint my first koi because I didn't know yet it was the koi. Wow. But this work, and then you do your work, and, well, you're a writer. I don't know if you feel this, but you must feel this. Do you feel sometimes you write and you write and you do this work and you struggle to get it done, and it's more than struggle. It's fun. It's making love. It's all engrossing and all engaging. But you're alone with the work, right?
Very much so. It's a very lone process when you're doing it until you actually are at the point where you're sharing it with others. But the experience that you're talking about is where it's much more shared when you're doing it with other people, right?
Well, exactly. And I wanted that experience because for me, when I finish a painting, it's usually sold by someone else, you know, and it's shipped off to another country or another somewhere. I never even see the installation. So it's like giving birth and giving your child away and never knowing how it grows up. Very rarely you get a photograph back, and you'll hear maybe it, you know, and you just trust. But this was different. This was all recycled. Atlanta, I'm sure, I don't know if you've had anybody on talking about grid lines, have you? line dropped. I just called her back, but she's not picking it up now.
When you first got on, well, you've been on a few minutes, it was like the whole hatch of it was just wind. It came up, and then the front door opened, and that door, and I'm just going, and as I walked back from walking the front door, I heard you talking about this is like color and balance. And I said,
it was going good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an hour show. We didn't even get 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. Blew the circuit. Under some energy. I hope I didn't hit that. I don't think I did. I'm not used to handling the phone. No. She's going to have to fill up that dead space.
Are you there? Donna? Donna? I don't know what happened. Did you dial? Let's just continue.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that little glitch, folks, but that's show business. It's some technological blitz here. But let's go on. You were telling us this incredible story.
Yeah, this is live. This is live. This is not like the days of old live TV, huh? I like it.
All right, to be continued. Go ahead. We were talking about the wall.
Oh, the wall.
And we were talking about actually not seeing, being interactive with your art instead of really
not being alone.
Right.
Not
okay,
being
so,
on an island by myself.
Right, and we were talking
which
about
which we just had
working
a very visible demonstration of that.
Yes, on both ends here. And we were talking about working in public places. So let's move there because I want to do as
okay,
much as
public places,
can.
This was the most amazing experience. Number one, it's a busy street in Atlanta. Atlanta's not like Philadelphia or New York. the neighborhoods kind of look like Woodbury, New Jersey, for those of you in the Delaware Valley. You know, a little closer together houses, but it's right next to the city. And one of the things that they told me was, as I was working on the wall, that it was on a major northeast, northwest, north-south grid line. Yeah, get your direction straight. So it's a 100-foot wall. We started to work. There was five of us initially that did most of the work on the wall. And things just started happening. From the moment we started, it was so much fun. I drew the things on, drew on the wall first what we were going to do, a rough sketch, because you really don't know what you're doing until you get there and until it happens, which is fun. And people started to come, and first they thought it was graffiti, and then we started adding things to the wall. A policeman came, and he said, well, do you have a permission? And we said, we're a real artist. He goes, I don't care. You own the wall. Go. Joanne, people came by and started from the beginning yelling, bravo, this is wonderful, thank you. They would, and then the same, what do you call them, garbage truck guys would go by. Okay, garbage truck guys would go by, love you guys. And they were our cheerleaders. They would go by and go, looking good today. People would come by. It was on the walk to. I was on the way to walk the dogs. It was on the way in the morning to get to the grammar school. And they would pull up, hand out the door, and hand us plates. Or someone gave us Delft, if anyone knows Dutch pottery, actual Dutch tiles, and said, here, put them on the wall. They all wanted to be part of the wall. It was incredible.
So it became this incredible communal activity and event, really, for not just for the painters and for you that sort of created the design, but for everybody else that was in the community that wanted to make this contribution. That's wonderful. I want to shift a little bit, Donna,
okay,
to some of the work that you do. You have commission work in hospitals, and you and I both, like we talked about, have a very strong background in healing and energy work. So what is that about in terms of the art in places, especially that are designed for healing, like hospitals and healing centers? What does the art do, and how has that come about for you and for the hospitals and the people served in there?
Well, I think my work's been collected in hospitals for the last 30 years, but I didn't put it together until the last few years. And I just finished a commission for a children's hospital in Phoenix, Arizona. Three big koi paintings, bright, colorful, wonderful. The one part is kids love fish. I don't know why, but they love fish. It doesn't matter, any kind of fish. The brighter, the better.
I think it's also because of their movement, too.
I think it is. I think it's the color, and I think it's the movement.
Right.
I think they just go right to that place that the monk had discovered 500 years ago.
Right.
You know, they don't have the filters that we have. They just go right there. But while I was working with this group, and they were kind of a, when you hit your match, and you find somebody that is, really gets what you've been trying to do for years, and they were talking about their philosophy, and their philosophy was to have, they just did artwork in buildings all over the world, for hospitals and healing centers and medical centers, but primarily hospitals. And they actually did researches that was able to decide what kind of paintings worked in what kind of environments, and you know, actually put them in and took tests. I don't know how they tested it, but asked questionnaires and did a whole testing thing to find out what worked. Like, there were some environments where it was like critical care environments, people didn't, or like in cancer wings, did not like having the abstract work because they needed something tangible. mm-hmm. to be able to connect with because so much else in their life was an untangible. Makes
right.
sense,
so
doesn't
they,
it?
So they needed something more concrete.
They needed something more concrete. So nature seemed to calm them. Trees, natures, water even was not so great there. But yeah, earth, they needed, from our point of view as healers, they needed grounding.
Right.
They needed to know they could put their roots down. They were going to get through tomorrow. And they had some strength to do this. Color was really important. This hospital that I just did, I finally got to see some of the photographs of it. They did colored lights everywhere, which change according to the day. The ceilings, on the walls, a lot of glass, which they use as reflective matter for the light. The walls were created very, very bright. The walls that my paintings are on are bright orange, which is kind of funny because I use an orange ground, which I always feel makes the paintings vibrate. The color
well, you
really
know,
vibrant.
Also from energy work and Reiki, orange is a very healing color, and it's a color that helps with, presumably, and you and I know that to be true, with inflammation, and so that would probably be very important. You know, something I have not asked you, and we have sort of entitled this time and the work that you do as sacred art. So what do you mean by that? And what does that mean in your life and in the life of others?
Well, I think I'm going back to my teacher, Maya-san, and one of the things that she was working to instill in me and the rest of us was that art, the difference between art and illustration is illustration tells a story, art asks a question. But the part that got to the next level, besides fine art asking a question, the next level for me was having a purpose. And I feel that sacred art is something that literally can shift someone from a point of view of where they are into seeing in a different way, into feeling in a different way. And I've had people look at my paintings and just cry, just feel waves of emotion because the work shifts them. So it energetically stands alone as a healing agent.
You know, I love that idea because part of the writing that I do when it's not just specifically writing for particularly co-authored information, when it's just the writing, and you've read some of that, the writing that I do that to me is incredibly healing. It's the words and the vibration of the words and the colors and the not just the information, not just the story. Yes, the story is important, but it's the energy that I've always believed since I've been really, really young that has a healing quality, a healing aspect to it. And so when you say that about the art, about the painting, it makes so much sense because that's what it does for people. They don't even have to necessarily, Donna, understand, okay, this is an interpretation of da-da-da-da. They just get it on so many other levels, and that's incredibly beautiful and incredibly healing.
Well, I know when I was reading, I sat in your little writing, your wonderful little writing hideaway, and I was reading your book that you had started when you were young, and I just sat there and wept. I mean, it was more, I wasn't just crying from the words. It was it's created a visceral experience in my body, and I shook. Do you remember that?
And yeah, I do. And you know what? That's what your painting does too. It's not just your painting, because your artwork, you do so much in terms of artwork. And for those folks who are coming to the fundraiser, Donna has so generously donated a piece of her artwork. And so yes, bring your money. It sounds horrible, but I don't mean it as a mercenary.
It's for a good cause, guys. Well, you know, the piece that I sent you is for the fundraiser is called All That Jazz. And all of my pieces, you mentioned Reiki, all of my ceramic, when I did the ceramic line, I would actually, while I was painting the layers, I would actually put the Reiki symbols into the pieces. You might not see them, but they were there, and all that jazz, they're there. They're just broken up. And I infused each and every painting, each and every piece of pottery with the Reiki energy. This new work I'm doing, it just kind of happens on its own. It is infused with energy. That's why it does that.
So let's talk about a little bit of the new work, but which includes, well, I think the 3D work has been around for a while, and you and I were talking the other day about this 3D work, which people actually, they put on glasses, right? These special 3D glasses, and kids and everyone loves it, but it creates, well, you tell them, because you can do that better.
Okay.
What does this 3D work do for people, and what happens to them when they look at it?
Well, first of all, it's not regular 3D. They're kind of unusual glasses, and it was an accident that we found it. I had a museum show. The curator of the children's wing of the museum had a pair of these unusual glasses and was wanting to teach the kids about primary color. So all the fish came in, said, this is great, tried on the glasses, and went, oh, my God, the fish look like they're swimming. I mean, literally. They look like they're swimming. There's the seagrass. It looks like it's moving. Only the water piece. Doesn't matter if it's ocean or if it's the koi or if it's jellyfish. The landscapes don't do it. It's just the water pieces. And what happens? We had this opening, and I said, oh, no, my work's not 3D. I'm an artist, so please don't do that. But anyhow, I put them on and went, oh, my God. And then as the night went on and everyone's had another sip of wine, they got into it and said, no, stand back and walk slowly up to it. And so when you're moving and you got the glasses on and it's moving, it's as if they act as a how do you say, an X-ray. So it breaks.
Right.
Yeah, so it breaks down. And this is part of what's got me to the next work. It's as if, so everyone says, it's like I'm looking at paint that's painted on a sheet of glass and then another sheet of glass and then another sheet, layers and layers and layers. And I'm looking through all the paint on these layers of glass going back through. And I'm like, wow, that's what I wanted to do on glass. But here I'm doing it on painting. So it stops people. It stops them cold. A lot of people are afraid of art because they're afraid of not knowing.
Well, they don't think they understand. Right. They also don't think they understand what it is, so that they think they're going to be stupid. Oh, well, that is particularly if it's some modern art where it isn't such reality art that it says, okay, that's a portrait of George Washington or something. So I think they feel...
Nobody wants to be stupid.
Right, exactly.
No one wants to feel, well, it's true. And they don't have the access in. Well, this automatically gives people access in because they're able to see first how I paint it. They're also able to understand something about art in a way they've never been able to. But then it stops and something, this is the magic, something else happens. I watch them shift.
And, you know, they're not even aware when they're shifting.
But I can see it. You know what I mean. You see it when you work with somebody
right.
on the table.
Right. I definitely see it. Now, we have a caller, and because I had to call in a really strange way to get back on the air, I don't know if this call, we're going to see if this caller, are you interested in taking a caller?
Sure.
Okay. So, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Who's this?
Hi, this is Gina.
Gina, how are you?
Hi, Tina.
Hello.
Can you talk a little louder? Did you have a question for Donna or for the host or a comment?
Is that better?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not quite sure what kind of questions I'm allowed to ask, but...
Whatever you like.
I guess I wanted to know if there are angels around here right now, or what colors do they represent? Yeah.
What color? What do specific colors represent?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good. That's a really, really good question.
You know, that's a good question, but that could take because we learn about colors. I mean, I've been teaching colors actually in terms of Reiki and what the colors mean in terms of healing. Why don't Donna? Because I don't want to spend all the rest.
No,
of
I can make that quick.
Okay,
I
talk
can,
about two colors, okay, because we don't have a lot of time. Just give
well, yellow is something that's, it's mind, so it's uplifting, it's bright, it's clear, and it's intellect.
Blue?
Blue is healing, it's creativity, it's it has a saturating kind of a feeling, an immersion kind of feeling. So that's why it's so powerful for healing because and for creativity because it's all encompassing.
And for the people who actually experience those colors, whether it's in a hospital or in a room that they've painted, it brings, as Donna said, it brings them an incredible sense of calm and ease. I hope that helps. Does that help?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to say one more thing about that. My husband just got, as you know, Joanne, just got home from the hospital getting a lovely new bionic knee, and they had just renovated the hospital that he's in. All the artwork, they had new artwork everywhere. In the public spaces, it was all contemporary, abstract kind of pieces, but they were all the same colors. They were all kind of a soft spring green, whether they were photographs or some of these watercolor pieces, with a little bit of brown and a little bit of more of a bluish green and more of an olive-ish green. And I kept watching them, and a lot of photographs mixed in, just of a leaf or something like that, but with the same range. And it was very pleasant to walk in and out. It kind of pulled me out of when I was leaving and when I walked out the door. It's like anything that happened was just kind of, it soothed me as I walked out, and it settled me down as I walked in. So color is really important. It's very, very powerful.
Great. Thank you. Now, for so long, you have kept, even though to some extent that's not true, but you have kept your art and your healing work, your Reiki work, very much separately. How did you begin to pull that together? Because to an extent that they really are one.
They really are one. And that has really been coming over the last 10 years. And I think it's because my art has reached a maturity level. And as I've taken time to go back and look at some of these stories like you asked me about, I realized there was never any beginning and never any end. I mean, I went to Japan to study art, and that's where I had my a grand part of my spiritual awakening, and ultimately found the work that I was going to be doing for the rest of my life. To be able to continue to do my art and to keep it as pure and as clean, and you know what I mean. Maybe you
right.
could explain that to
nope.
them.
No, you do a good job.
Okay, thank you. Just energetically clean. I have always felt to have my work in the presence, I needed to do a lot of work on myself and constantly keep myself clear of any old thoughts, beliefs, limiting, karmic things, whatever. And so I've gone on and continued to study and continued to work on that. I suppose I kept it separate for a long time because it was still linked into my private evolution, even though I worked with other people. But now, most of that work has been assimilated, and I've moved into a place of acceptance. And since I've moved into a place of acceptance, the whole world is different.
Right. And
you know
I'm
accepting on both of these things.
Right. And I think, too, that the world has changed. I remember years and years ago when I first began energy work and was going around talking about it, people would say, what? and it did not get a lot of popular attention at the time, and there were people who loved it and experienced it, but it wasn't mainstream as it is today. So I think you're right. I think you've gone through that evolution, I've gone through that evolution, and the world as we know it today is also going through that evolution. And
it was scary.
Yeah, it was scary. But
it was scary.
Interestingly, I think that in order to move forward in our lives, no matter who we are, and this is my belief system, no matter who we are, what we do, and where we are constantly growing ourselves. I think you do that till you're dead. Grow, and then even beyond that, but we won't get into that today. But so,
or you start aging and getting very sick.
So you're actually evolving and changing and move. So I think you're at a point, just as the world is, at a point of that level of integration, which I think is very, very beautiful.
That's
so
the word.
So what's in the future for you?
Well, what's in
terms of your art, yeah. Something that you talk about, fiber optics. I'm not sure what that is in terms of art. So
okay.
Help me out here.
Well, I've been playing with a lot of different mediums for the last 10 years. I've worked with glass mosaics. I've worked with smalti, which is the old Italian way of breaking up little tiny pieces of stone and glass and gluing them together like the Byzantine mosaics that you saw in all the wonderful churches in Europe, and trying to find this connection, because I still, just as I describe people seeing the paintings through the glasses as if they're looking through the glass, I'm interested in this world beneath the world beyond. And now what I know, that it's not that. I'm looking through the levels of spiritual evolution and moving beyond this 3D experience that we're having now, and moving to higher levels of consciousness, higher levels of acceptance, higher levels of integration. But my art wants to move there, too, and bring that forward. And it all finally came together this fall. I made a trip to Destin. I have been wanting to do this for years. Someone once told me, I don't remember who, but you know how people come up to you and tell you something and they disappear?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this woman, at that point, she was an older woman, probably like me now, middle-aged, and she said, you have to go to Destin. They have sand on the beach that's just incredible. And you go on a full moon and scoop your hands in it and let it shift through your fingers, and there's crystals in the sand. I don't remember who she was. I don't know where I was, but I never forgot that story. Did you see the movie Contact?
Yes.
Do you remember
so
the beach?
Yes. You've actually been able to. So you actually went there?
I did. I went to that beach. It's actually in Alabama, in the Gulf Shores. And it has crystals on the beach, but no one else that was there seemed to know anything about it. Well, of course, the law of attraction, and this man sat next to us, and my friend and I were having a very intense conversation about a book that she was reading. Yeah, anyway, this man sat next to us, and he was from Germany. He gets up, starts muscle testing another guy that was walking on the beach, puts the sand in his hand, and the sand stays, his arm stays solid with the sand. It's mica. It's silicon. And I got it. The work that I want to pull in is using some of the silicon kind of material, this shiny, tiny, ground-up crystalline material with lights, with color it's otherworldly color. So it creating a piece of art that's glass, that's fused with ionized material that creates colors that are like you and I both see in our visions. So I'm pretty excited about it.
You know, that I love that idea. So that's not there yet? That's something that you're working on
I'm working on. I'm very close.
Okay, good. Okay, wonderful. So, Donna, we only have a couple of minutes left on, according to this on-air thing here, and I don't want us to be cut off. How do people get a hold of you? and take a look at some of this incredible work, both the healing and the artwork, and let people know a website or some other way for us.
Okay, yes. I actually have 4 websites now. But
make it simple.
Pinterstudios.com. Go to Pinterstudios.com, and there's links to all the other sites.
And that's spelled?
P-I-N-T-E-R, studios, plural, .com.
Great. And so when they go to Pinterest Studios, can't they, because I remember going there a while ago, can't they also see many of the artworks and also the commission works that you've
Absolutely.
Done?
And there's a bold link that says see the aquarium piece, and that'll take you to another site. And then from there, go to the links. And I'm just working on a new site called Blue Illuminations that she'll be up and running this week.
Oh, great.
It'll be talking more about my spiritual work.
So that's more about the healing and the spiritual work that you're doing.
And the sacred part of the art.
Yes, definitely. So what would you like to leave our listening audience with? I mean, you're so talented. You work in so many diverse mediums, and you do healing, and you do art, and all of it touches people in such wonderfully profound ways. What do you want people to be left with before we
Well, I think that the thing that comes to mind is, one, to breathe and to take a moment and to look outside and look to nature. Pay attention to that sunset. Take a minute to breathe it in. Really, that's what an artist does. They breathe it in. They make it part of them. And God gives us these little breaks, these beautiful, we're having a lovely rainy day, and pay attention to that, and just no matter what's going on, just stop for a minute and breathe and let nature rebuild you and let the color that's natural rebuild you.
I love that. That's so very beautiful. It's simple, and yet it's so very profound, and I'm going to add to that. Not only breathe in nature, because I think nature is magical and healing and grounding and illuminating and all of that, but take nature in and utilize as many of your senses to really be present with that natural experience, because that's a very profound shift for every one of us to really be here in the midst of all that beauty, of all that exquisite aliveness, and to, like you said, to just breathe it in and to feel it, to experience it, as you said, with our totality. So, Donna, as always, it's a pleasure.
Thank you, Joanne. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I'm so glad. And sorry for that little glitch. That little glitch first. I'm going to see if I can actually fix that so that when people come and listen again and again and again, we won't hear all that busy signal. I have no idea what the universe was trying to tell us. But
I think they might have heard me in the background, too, and I apologize.
As long as you weren't
whatever I said. Oops, sorry.
Thank you so much. You've been a wonderful guest. Have a beautiful, blessed day. Love to Wayne and quicken his healing. And people go to, give them the website again.
Pinterstudios.com.
Go to Pinterstudios.com to be transformed, to be illuminated, to help with your own evolution. And Donna, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joanne. Bye, everybody.
Folks, next week we have Michelle Whitedove, who's been voted the #1 psychic. And please bring your questions to her. She's going to respond to any questions that you have, personal and planetary. And so that would be very important. In the meantime, I want you to think about everything that Donna and I said today. Breathing is so important. Oftentimes I work with clients, and when they're stressed or when they're in a hurry or when they're not paying attention, what happens is that they are holding their breath. Breathing is a gift. So breathe in the beauty, the wonder, and also the wonder and the beauty of you. And keep evolving, keep growing, keep loving, and hope to see you, not see you personally, but hope to hear and experience you as you will experience this Power Your Life radio show next week. Have a blessed day and a blessed week. And this is Dr. Joanne White signing off.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.